When I think about all the time, money, energy, karma, juju, whatever you want to call it, when I think about over this career lifetime that I had, all of the angst and the worrying and the planning and the self-doubt and the, you know, being upset when things didn't go my way, if only I had known, if only had someone had told me X, Y, or Z, it could have saved me so much, so much, so much. So that's what I'm doing for you today, Podsters. Today, I'm talking about the top three things I wish I knew or wish I paid attention to you. I'm giving it to you straight. And if you stay with me, this episode is going to change your life and change your career. Are you ready to speak up, stand out, and get your seat at the table? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to Unmute Yourself, the podcast where you'll get real-life anecdotes and actionable tools for you to step into your strengths, debunk imposter syndrome, truly know your worth, and show up like you own the room every time. I'm your host, Nancy Medoff, who did the thing and followed my passion for empowering women like you to unleash that inner spark and become who you know you are meant to be. I'm a diehard foodie with a raging Skittles habit who will not stop until women everywhere unmute themselves and truly thrive at work, at home, or wherever you may be. Let's do this. Podsters, what is up? We're back. I'm pumped. I get some great, this is a great topic today. Couple of things. One, we hit 10,000 downloads. I need a whoop whoop. I need a whoop whoop. I need you to whoop whoop in your cars, in your shower, wherever you are. We need a whoop whoop. Let me tell you why this is a big deal. Ordinarily, it's like, you know, you hear about people with their million downloads, their 10 million downloads, because you know what, Podsters? You got to start somewhere. And this podcast started as a, I don't want to say a whim, but it started as a, hey, you want to do a podcast? And here we are almost 2 years later, 10,000 downloads. I think we're in like 52 countries now. This is a really big deal. And it's a big deal because every time I record a session, someone listens, and hopefully every time, doesn't matter how much, you know, out of that 10,000, out of those 10,000 downloads, if one tenth of those people changed behavior or was able to advocate for themselves or speak up, the salary negotiation, the boundaries at home, whatever the case, it's why I do what I do. So I am humbled and grateful and super excited about 10,000 downloads. All right, so let's talk. Today, we're talking about three things I wish I knew or I wish I listened to earlier in my career. Okay, this has been on my mind for a while. And these are like the top three lessons. So oftentimes I'm asked, what would you tell your younger self? Or, you know, what's one piece of advice? And I can't come up with one. I have three. Here they are. In no particular order. Okay, not really in any particular order. Number one, the best candidate does not always get the job. Difficult to hear. Also very important. So think about politics. Does the best candidate always get the position they're going for? No. And unfortunately, there are many, many things at play, or not even necessarily unfortunately, there are many other things at play when there is a job posted. And oftentimes, people who are the most qualified don't get the position. There's a number of reasons. The number one reason is because when that position was posted or advertised, there was already a pre-selected candidate. So the person that was hiring for the job or is hiring for the job already has someone that they know they want in the role. Kind of a bummer, because if you're the most qualified, shouldn't you be the one that gets the position? Maybe, maybe not. One could argue, well, yeah, absolutely. What if you're the most qualified, but you don't have the best people skills, and people skills are really important? What if you're the most qualified, but there's a specific niche, very specific thing that needs to be done, and you're not equipped to do it? So I would love to say the person most qualified should get the job, and I would say usually that's the case, but there are special circumstances. But that's not my point. My point is, many times a position is posted and there's already somebody in mind. So what you need to do before you post for the job, understand, is there, who else is going for this job? And is there somebody that's already being considered? I'm not saying that you should obsess about the other people posting. I have never believed that. In my 25 years in sales, I never worried about what the competition was doing. I focused on what I was doing. That didn't mean that I turned a blind eye to what the competition was doing. Important to know who else is out there and what they're saying as a data point. Probably not going to change my behavior, but would be good to know, and maybe I would adjust my strategy a little bit. So I remember in my career, there was a position that I was going for, and the hiring manager did everyone a solid and said, listen, there is a strong internal candidate. And I wanted to go for the job anyway. And I talked to my boss at the time, who would always give it to me straight. And she said, okay, so this person's telling you that there's already somebody they want. I said, yep. And she said, okay, and you're going to go for the job anyway. I said, yep. She said, why? I said, because I think I can talk them into hiring me. And she said, okay, what do you think's going to happen if this person said, we have a strong internal candidate and you post for the job anyway and you make them go through the whole process of talking to you? Sure, you might be able to get on their radar. And at the same time, you run the risk of either appearing to be arrogant or wasting their time or not understanding the position. Because if there's somebody already slotted for the position, there's a reason. And you need to decide if it's worth it for you to put your name out there. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. There's pros and cons to both. I went down a little rabbit hole there because I remembered when that happened. I ended up not posting for the position. And the hiring manager actually said to me, I know you were interested in this job. You know that we have a strong internal candidate. I want you on this team. This is not the right time. So I had a really great conversation with the person. So there you go. So that's the number one. Number one, there are many times somebody pre-selected. Okay, so the number two reason why the best candidate doesn't always get the job is because just because you're the best candidate doesn't mean you did well on your interview. Now, the interview should not be the only deciding factor, and usually it's not. However, it is a very, very big part of the process. So when you have a company that has a fairly organized or well-run human resources department, there's recruiting, there's human resources, there's interviewers, sometimes and oftentimes more than one. There could be an interview panel. There are ratings for the interviews. There is the hiring manager or human resources will factor in your last few performance appraisals. They factor in feedback from the team. There's a number of specific structured data points. And then there are also non-specific structured data points. I'm going to talk about the specific ones first. So for example, think about, okay, one time I was hiring for someone and I was hiring for a position. And there was someone very qualified on my team that was going for the job. It was a promotion within the team. And I really wanted to hire him. I thought there was no question he was the best person for the job. And we interviewed him. We went through the process. It was a team of interviewers and there was a very rigorous process. And he completely bombed on the interview, like bombed, did awful. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him. I was embarrassed for myself. Like it was just awkward. He's a great guy, really good at his job. He's froze. So at the end of the day, we rolled in all these metrics and he came out way behind the other person who interviewed. It didn't matter that he was the most qualified or he was one of the most qualified. What mattered was he didn't stack up well with the other candidates because of how he did on the interview. That is how important the interview is. Is that fair? Probably not. He bombed on one interview. However, the interview was so important to the process that the next time he interviewed for the next job, he make sure he did much, much better. So, this really happens. And sometimes it's out of the hiring manager's hands. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was the data points that are not specific. So this is, for example, how many people called me about this person? So oftentimes if someone's going for a job, they'll have either their boss call and advocate on their behalf or their teammates or a customer, a client. There is a very powerful network in every company. Every company has them. And if you are not tapping into that network, I'm not saying that you need to be fake. I'm not saying that you need to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm saying that if you don't tap into the network that is built into your position and your company, you're doing yourself a disservice. So when there is a position or when I would be going for a position, now I wouldn't spam the hiring manager with like 50 people, but I would think about the position. I would think about what's important for the position. And I would have people whose opinions would be valued in this matter call on my behalf, email on my behalf. I would have a client occasionally email on my behalf if it's appropriate and if it makes sense. If I'm hiring for a job and there's crickets and I don't hear anybody really go to bat for this person, that's a yellow flag. Something's up. During the process is not the time to be humble. You can be humble in your interview while also advocating for yourself, but you know, this is your time to say, here's what I did. Here's what I bring to the table. Here's why you should hire me. And part of that is having people send that message for you. So I want to get back to this internal network that's at every company. So there's a network that's at every company. You know it if you work for a big corporation. And even if you own your own business, there's a network within your field. So you get to decide how much you tap into that network and how much time and energy you spend. Some people spend a lot of time and energy and that's what they want to do. They want to spend all their time networking. They think it's really valuable. And I think some people go a little over the top. There are some people who don't want to, you know, let's say you go to a convention, they go to the convention, the trade show floor closes or the meeting closes or the meeting ends. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to go back up to my room. Going to say goodnight to my kids. And then they're going to have some dinner in the room, light a candle, do whatever they do to thrive on the road. And they do not partake in any of the after meeting networking. That's also, in my opinion, not wise. I'm not saying that you can't live your truth and do what you need to do to be you and thrive when you're on the road. I'm saying that there is an incredible opportunity for FaceTime, particularly if you're traveling with a group, if you're at a meeting, the meeting after the meeting, the meeting before the meeting, and you are welcome to remove yourself from all of that. Understand that there may be some unfortunate negative consequences to that. Again, I want to be clear because I will always live my truth. I'm not saying that you need to go and stay out until 3 a.m. There are plenty of people that do that. They go berserk when they're on the road. I've never really understood that, but okay. I'm saying maybe you go for one drink. Maybe you go for dinner and then leave after dinner. If you're building bicycles or Habitat for Humanity or whatever the case may be, but to walk away and not partake of any of the networking opportunities, it's a missed opportunity and it will slow your progress if that's something that's important to you. Okay. So the number two thing that I wish someone had told me, or I wish I listened to, was that a promotion is great. A new job is great. Don't worry about a title and don't worry about money. Now I want to be really clear here. Both of those things matter. Salary matters, title matters, depending on where you are in your career and what you value. I personally have never really been about titles. And at the same time, if a title is going to get you more resources, or if a title is going to send a stronger message about your role, if a title is going to give you street cred, so to speak, there are some companies that unless you're a VP, you can't get anything done. No one will talk to you. No one will actually take action unless there's a vice president in your title. So it depends on your company and your company culture. Sometimes it's important, sometimes it isn't. If you are busting your ass and you've been doing the job of 3 people and this has been happening 6, 9, 12 months and you still haven't been given a title or the job recoded to reflect what you're doing, not okay. Not okay. So I'm not saying chase the title. I'm saying understand that in certain circumstances, it's important. So let's talk about salary. Salary is very, very, very important over here at Unmute Yourself, the podcast. In fact, salary negotiations are so important to us over here at Unmute Yourself. There's a whole chapter in the book dedicated to this. So money isn't everything. And at a certain point in your life, you worry less about money and more about being fulfilled and more about living your truth and more about being in a role where you can make a difference. And that's the holy grail. That's wonderful. That to me is everything. At the same time, if you are not earning a salary that you think you deserve, that's a different story. So there's a difference between chasing the money or accepting a role where you're underpaid. I'm going to give you another example. Well, very early in my career, I was very young. This was probably one of my first big sales promotions. I was asked to post for a role, asked to interview for the job by the hiring manager. And I interviewed, they offered me the job, and it was a promotion. It was a new role. It was actually a new role building a whole new sales team. So it was going to be a rigorous job. And the person hiring me said, "You did great on the interview. I want you in this job. You did a great job. We're so happy to have you interested. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to give you any more money." Okay. So what I said at the time, and sometimes things just come out of your mouth and you look back and you say, "Oh my God, I can't believe I said that. Did I really say that?" And sometimes things just come out of your mouth and you think to yourself, "Wow, I'm glad I said that." So this was one of those times. I had no training on this. I was a very young junior salesperson. This was a long time ago. Women were still earning a lot less than men. It's a whole nother conversation. And I remember saying to myself, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. They wanted me in this job. They want me to leave my current role. They came after me. It's a big job. It's going to be a lot of work. I know that I can add value, and they need me. They need me in this role. And they're not going to give me any more money. I don't understand this. So what I said was, unplanned. I said, "You know, I'm going to need to think about this." And the hiring manager said, "Well, what do you mean you need to think about it?" And he was kind of put off. And I said, "You know, you're telling me that you value me and that you want me in the role, yet by not giving me any kind of a salary increase, that says to me that you don't value my skills in this role, and that how you value my skills in this role is different than how I value my skills in this role. And that doesn't really feel comfortable to me. And I need to think about it before I say or do anything. I need to think about it." And he was really, really blown away. He was blown away. And he's like, "Well, you know, don't take too long to think about it," or something like that. And I said, "No, I need to think about this. This isn't what I was expecting." That's another great way to buy time, by the way, without playing your hand, is this isn't what I was expecting. I'm going to need to think about it. Okay. So I said, I need to think about it. And, I appreciate the opportunity again. And actually, I knew him pretty well. And I said, "You know, I don't understand how you can tell me that you value me in this job, and you are asking me to do this without giving me any kind of salary increase. I cannot reconcile that in my head. I can't get my head around it. And I'm going to have to call you back. I'll call you back tomorrow." So before the day was even over, guess what happened, Podsters? He called me back and he said, "Well, I was able to get you some more money." And I said, "Great, you know, how much more, whatever, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "That's great. You know, thank you for finding the money magically, wherever it came from." But I wasn't like gushing all over him, like, "Thank you so much. Oh, I really appreciate it." No, I wasn't doing that. I said, "Well, thank you for taking that step. I appreciate it. And I know you really want me in the role, and I really want the role, and I'd be delighted to accept the position." And that was it. And I'll never forget that. That was a really long time ago, because two reasons why I'll never forget it. One, I never, ever did that to anybody ever again. And I would oftentimes talk to human resources when I was going to offer someone a position, and I would say, "Okay, what's my range?" And they would say, "Well, the range is pretty low. You know, we really can't give them that much more." And I'd say, "Okay, how much more can I give them?" And, you know, HR would want me to come in with these, you know, little mamsy-pamsy increases. And, depending on where they were and the metrics and what made sense, I would go in at a certain amount. But I refused to ever offer a candidate a job without some kind of an increase or some kind of an added benefit. And there were a couple of times where HR wanted me to do it, and I said, I'm not doing it. So we can either not hire this person, or we can figure out a way to get them some more money, because this is not okay. I'm not doing that. I am not starting this relationship off that way. That sends a terrible message about the company and about the team, and I'm not doing it. So that's one thing that always stuck with me. The other thing that always stuck with me and why I remember it is because I was really disappointed. And it was my first time that I ever realized that no one's going to look out for me. You know, I thought this guy was going to look out for me. He recruited me. He wanted me. He knew me. And then he had the audacity to offer me a role with no increase. It was just, you know, when you're a kid and you think grownups know everything and then you realize they don't. That was one of those moments for me. So anyway, that's number two. Number three, you have got to get feedback from people who don't like you or don't like working with you. Now, 20-year-old Nancy would have said, well, what do you mean I need to get feedback from people who don't like me? They don't like me. I don't really care about their opinion. Why? I don't, whatever. They don't like me. I know they don't like me. Why do I need to find out why? So the difficult truth here is that not everybody's going to like you, and that's okay. If people don't want to work with you, you need to find out why, because that's a blind spot. Something's happening. Something's happening the way you're showing up that is causing people to not want to work with you. And if you don't know about it, you can't address it. And if you don't address it, it will probably derail your career. So this is why you need a trusted advisor, a mentor, a boss, your personal board of directors. I think that's chapter 8 in the book. This is why you need someone who will give it to you straight. Or even better, I have a situation right now where I have to work with someone and we're not particularly friendly. We don't particularly care for each other. That's okay. What I will say is, you know, hey, I know that we haven't always seen eye to eye in the past. Let's talk about what I can do to make it easier for you to work with me, because I truly want to make it easy for them to work with me. Or you could say, hey, I know in the past, our relationship has been a little difficult and I know we both want this to work. So let's talk about how we can work together and what we think we might be able to do together to overcome those obstacles. Easy peasy. And then you can work on the relationship. I'm not saying that you need to be fake. I'm saying that if you are alienating somebody enough that they don't want to work with you, that is going to come back to haunt you if you don't address it. The only way you can address it is to get feedback from people who aren't the president of your fan club. So that's the top three. I'm going to give you a bonus lesson that I wish I had learned earlier, or I wish I had paid attention to. So here it is. Just because you really want it to happen does not mean that it's going to happen. Yes, there's fate, there's karma, there's all kinds of things at play here. And you could really, 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 really want a promotion, want to launch your business, whatever the case may be. All you can do is know that you did everything you possibly could to get the job. So let's take a job that you really want. You post for the job. First of all, if you really want a job, you should be networking for the job before the job's even posted. I did that. I've talked about it before. I wanted to be on this team. I talked to the person who led the team. I got to know the team. So I was a known entity by the time the job became available. So if it's let's say it's not, the job is just posted. Are you finding everything out that you can possibly about the team, about the hiring manager, about their challenges, about the company? Are you having people call on your behalf? And I don't mean calling on your behalf saying, hey, Nancy's a great person, but I just did this with a one-on-one client. We wanted everybody that called on his behalf to be saying the same thing, because we wanted those three strengths to be embedded in people's mind. So if you think you're the best candidate because you are a strategic thinker who can also manage the tactics, you want everybody who's calling on your behalf to say, I worked with Nancy and here's what she's really good at. And you want them all to be saying the same thing. If you are going for a job and you're not practicing for the interview to the point where you can't even stand the sound of your own voice anymore, you're doing yourself a disservice. You have got to keep practicing and practicing and practicing. I've shared this story before. I was interviewing for one of my last jobs in corporate America. I thought I was so ready. I sat down with Danny the night before and he gave me a B minus. So I went back to the drawing board and I reworked my answers so that I was more prepared. Gotta find someone who will give it to you straight. Are you following up appropriately? Here's what I mean by that. So many times, as we said, there's a recruiter, there's HR, there's the hiring manager, there's the interviewing managers, there's people on the team. Are you talking to people on the team? Anyone you interact with about this position should get a thank you note. At the very least, a thank you email with very specific, thank you for your time. I enjoyed talking to you about this. And I'm even more confident after we spoke that my skill in this, this is this, 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 and this will add value to the team. So, you know, not just thank you for your time. I look forward to next steps. Nope. This is an opportunity to reiterate everything that you wanted them to know. Are you understanding the process so you know when to follow up? Oftentimes people will say when they're closing out an interview, they'll say, tell me about next steps. Well, the next step is that we are going to get back to you. Okay, how's that working out for you? What I like to say is, so tell me a little bit about the hiring process. Tell me, you know, from here until you make your decision, tell me a little bit about that process. Oh, well, here's the process. We're all going to get together. We're going to meet. Then we're going to do another this. Then you're going to have a panel of interviews. Then we're going to do this. Then we're going to do this. Then tell me about the process. So you know where in that process you can strategically place your thank yous, your check-ins, your, hey, I know I haven't spoken to you in a couple of weeks. I realized that you had 27 other candidates you were talking with and that you thought that that would wrap up this week. How are things going? And is there anything else I can answer for you or whatever the case may be? The more you learn about the process, the more you can show them that you're thorough, you're determined, and you care about honoring that process. So like, let's say, for example, there was 27 other people interviewing for the job and they said, it's going to take us 2 weeks to get through those interviews. And then 3 days later, you checked in with them. And then 3 days after that, you checked in with them. And then 3 days after that, you checked in with them. And then 3 days after that, you checked in with them. That shows to me that the person doesn't listen and the person doesn't care about my time and that the person is more concerned with them and moving forward. And it's kind of that like desperate energy than, oh, okay, so you think it's going to take about 2 weeks? Well, I'd like to follow up with you on the 17th then to see how things are going and to check on next steps. Would that be okay? Yeah, that's great. Okay, great. So Podsters, same thing with your side hustle, by the way. So the only thing you can do is know that you did everything possible to launch that side hustle, everything within your power, binging all the podcasts, talking to the people that have done it, hiring a coach where appropriate, sitting down with people who have done what you want to do and asking for their time and asking for 15 minutes of their time, all of the things. You need to know you did everything you possibly could. And at the end of the day, if you did everything you knew you possibly could, then you have no shame in that game and you know that it simply wasn't meant to be. So, Podsters, that's my three tips for you with a bonus. What's happening? Oh, speaker school is opening. Woo, I got another speaker school coming up. So the first round of speaker school is over. The women that I worked with, I'm here to tell you, each one of them now has their signature keynote. They have all of their talking points. They have all of their copy. They have already received, some of them have already received reviews from some of their talks that it's the best time they've ever heard them speak. You know, I am so proud of these women. So proud. There's a link in the show notes. I'm starting another one in a couple of weeks. This is one-on-one private coaching with me specifically to get you clear, confident, and compelling when you're on stage. That's that. And we'll be back with spring. Thank you for the 10,000 downloads. If you think that there's somebody who needs to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Always, as always, shoot me a note, a DM, skyscraper, writing it in the sky, whatever. I love to hear from you. I love to hear that you're listening. I love to answer your questions. I love you, and I will see you soon. Peace out, Podsters. That's a wrap, Podsters. And before we go, I ask you, what's one thing from today's episode that you will use this week to unmute yourself? DM me, email me, send a smoke signal, whatever you need to do. Let me know what you're going to do differently. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone you know and leave a 5-star review on Apple. This helps me spread our message of empowerment to more people worldwide. Let's do this.